When we talk about organization change in context of culture, it's very important to understand that any change in culture evokes multiple reactions. And very common reactions, you can guess what is the reaction which comes very common, and that's the first reaction comes to resist change. You will see in every circumstances, every space, wherever there is a change is introduced, people have reaction to resist change. Why? Because when there is a change in culture, the first thing comes to your mind that what happens to me. Of course, there are certain cultural aspects which really makes people to embrace the new culture. And it's a good example that, you know, somebody is working in an Indian organization for in a manufacturing company for last say 15 years, and then moved on to an IT company and moved to the another country, United States or Canada. So when you land in a new country, you find it's a cultural shock. So there the reaction is not to resist, because here you have accepted this change. So immediately there is acceptance to embrace the change. You immediately are prepared to accept the change. Why? Because it's your own decision. You have decided to move to a new country, new culture. There is immediate reaction comes that let me accept this change, let me embrace this change. Sometimes there are people who move to a different culture. Someone moves from one organization to another organization, and you'll find the person is completely in a different culture, very aggressive culture, there's a sense of fear. So when there's a change happens in the organization, different people you'll find to deal with, that the people who accept change, who embrace change, who resist change, and who are fearful about change. So as a HR expert, an international HR expert, you need to deal with all three categories of employees. How can you help people who are resisting change? How can you help people to remove the fear? And how can you increase the number of people who are ready to embrace the change? So as a manager, you know, it will be very interesting to understand what is the source of resistance. If you understand the source, probably it will help you to address the situation in a better way. Now look at that, there are people who will respond from the short-term orientation. When they respond to short-term orientation, these people normally will find they like to have less effort but quick result. But the people who resist from the long-term perspective, they can show perseverance, they can show this readiness for certain efforts, as well as they are willing to wait for the slow result. And that is how it really reflects. If you look at the entire list, you will find there is a clear demarcation that the people resist to change from a different context. It is a short-term orientation, and when it happens, it is a long-term orientation. So this can really help the manager to address the issue and resolve the conflict. Now look at this. Let's have a quick check. In a high context culture, conflict develops when? The obvious answer is that when people violate cultural expectations. And when past-oriented cultures are faced with change, what they do? They definitely resist. Particularly when people, they have past orientation, and if there is a change, because change is always for future, and immediate reaction is resist. Please look at this now chapter structure. What we have covered, we have understood the meaning of culture. We also seen the impact of culture, how culture impacts motivation, how culture impacts communication, and also its impact on conflict resolution. The next aspect, very important aspect, is that how we deal with this. Now, to deal with, what we need to develop is the cultural competency. So what do we mean by cultural competency? Now, developing cultural competency in the organizations is very, very important, because as we are aware, this is the reality today in any organization, when you work with a global workforce. If we don't have adequate competency to deal with the diverse culture, we have issues to deal with the people, and subsequently it will have impact on your performance. When we talk about culture, as I said, the culture is nothing but the gross, if you look at the impact of your policies, procedures and processes. Finally, as I said, that culture doesn't come in a ready-made package. Every individual who works for the organization is a contributor for its own culture. Now, whole idea is that how we can synergize the different cultures, diverse cultures, and try to create a blend which is unique to the particular organization. Now, when we talk about the organization, every organization has certain values, certain beliefs, and what is more important is that how you can align with these values and beliefs the people who come to the organization, who people who are existing in the organization, who are the new entrants to the organization, how we can reorient them and try to evolve the unique organization culture. Now, when you say cultural competence, how to develop the cultural competence? So let's look at the important aspect of cultural competence. And there are four levels of cultural competence. It's very important to know. First, definitely, you need to have a knowledge of what is the culture differences. So at first level, it's very important to have information about the different cultures and behavioral patterns of different cultures. So that's very important to have that information. So it's at a knowledge base. Number two is that awareness about the different cultural aspects. And the third part is more towards attitude. Do I have a sensitivity towards the different aspects of culture? In certain culture, a certain act may be treated as a disrespect. Can I restrain myself to do that act just because to show the respect to my co-worker? And this sensitivity will bring us to have acceptance to a diverse culture. Now, if you have awareness, if you have information, if you have awareness about the culture, you also have attitude to change your perspective about the culture. Probably what you can really reflect in your action. And when it comes into your action, so we develop that competence. And when you develop this competence at an individual level, and the same effort, if it is done across the organization, you can say that the organization has adequate competence. Organization has adequate cultural competence. So why do we need to be culturally competent? The reason is very obvious, because today we are part of the global community. We are all connected through free trade, the increasing globalization happening across the world. So if you look at, people are moving from one part of the country, one part of the world to another country. So there is a free movement of people. There are many organizations are developing their global managers. So if you are really part of this diverse community, it's very important, it's very imperative for us to acquire the competence of cultural competence. Now, if you look at the social changes, business changes are driving us to acquire and to have this the competency. It's very, very important that people who really come from a different culture, different color, different races, and if they do not have that cultural sensitivity, there is always a scope for conflict in the organization. Now, what will I achieve through acquiring the cultural competence? If we have cultural competence, there is a better understanding. If you look at, there is an increased respect, mutual understanding. If there is a mutual respect and increased understanding, definitely it will have a better outcome. I think it also fosters creativity. If you have cultural sensitive, it definitely helps better creativity. People have lesser surprises, unpleasant surprises, and you know, so there is a better understanding. It also fosters good participation, involvement of the employees at all levels. And most important is that the trust quotient is very high. So there is a better trust level in the organization, and when there is a better trust, When there is an increased trust, increased cooperation, definitely it reflects in a better outcome or better output of the organization. Now, cultural sensitivity also helps to shed the fear of doing mistakes. People are encouraged to do mistakes. People are not in it. There is no inhibition about their cultural background. People feel comfortable to express. There is no concern. People will not think about whether if I speak in a particular accent, am I be laughed? No. So there is a mutual respect for your own, for your color, for your accent, for your the origin of your culture. If there is a mutual respect, there is a harmony. And this is how it really promotes inclusion. It promotes inclusion and equality in the organization. How to create the cultural competent organization? Now, what are the ways you can do that? And in terms of as a management, as an international HR expert, it's your responsibility how you can really promote the cultural competence. Now, different ways you can do it. Of course, there's a first definitely important aspect is that vision and context. Now, when you are in the process to articulate vision of the organization, it's very important to know that have you invited participation from a people from a different culture? Because if there is a limited representation of the people coming from a minority culture, you will find there's a resistance from their side. So it's very important to have their participation while articulating your vision for the organization. Recruitment is very important because many times you will find there's a bias in hiring too. Now many times you will find there are certain organizations, they have paid a high price by having a bias while recruiting people. And I personally believe that the over homogeneity becomes counterproductive. If you try to hire people of the same race, same community, same, probably you will find there is a lesser creativity, there are major problems. Okay, so it's more important to have a productive workforce, and you can have a productive workforce only when you can hire people, you encourage people coming from diverse culture. So your recruitment strategy should be very fair. When you say that I'm an equal opportunity provider, we as an organization we give equal opportunity to all the applicants, you need to be very transparent. You need to minimize the gender bias. You need to minimize the bias for minority, for a different culture. Of course, you hire people from a different culture, your job is not end, it doesn't end there. What you need to really do, you need to go step ahead and probably organize the diversity training. You need to design diversity training, and this diversity training is a very important or effective tool to sensitize people coming from a different culture. You can really have these programs, online program, as a matter of fact, it should be like your part of your induction program. Diversity training is a part of induction program, and that will definitely help to improve cultural competence in the organization. Now, the few things probably you need to really remember while implementing this diversity program. Diversity training, typically one time event, but it shouldn't be one time event, it should be like an ongoing process. This training will certainly not change, because with the training, what you need to have the action. Because people need to really understand that, okay, this organization is sensitive for cultural diversity, at the same time, their practices, it reflects in their practices. Now, organization structure and operating procedures. Very important to have organization structure which will have a representation of minority, which will also have a representation from a people coming from a different culture. Many times it happens that the decision making positions are held by a certain category of people coming from a unique culture. Instead of that, you should have people filling the position of leadership positions coming from a different culture. develop professional policies and programs that confront and challenges racism, sexism and other forms of intolerance. You need to communicate very, very clearly to the people that you don't encourage racism. You don't encourage any disciplinary discrepancies. So it's very important to have that you have the action plan. Suppose if there is some kind of behavior, do we have a provision to punish that behavior, to discourage that behavior? Communicating. While communicating is again important as an organization communication, so it's very important to have the communication which will address the need of the people coming from a diverse work culture. Now, for example, there's a few things I think very important to understand as a international HR expert, that how you can prohibit this disrespectful name calling. So if there is a policy that in the organization everyone is being called by first name, let's have that policy across. So that gives a uniform policies. Use of humor appropriately. Now many times it happens that, you know, there are the people, whether they laugh with each other or they laugh at each. I think you need to really look at those policies, those behavior of the people. And these small items, the small action points will really help and will go a long way to promote the cultural competent organization. Different but similar. As we said, this is again important aspect, that when people are coming from a different cultural background, they look different, but what is the commonality? What is the similarity? The similarity is that probably the passion, the goal, correct, common understanding and the comradeship. Your organization will become more connected with the community that it serves if it states publicly that having diverse workforce is a top priority. That organization commitment has to be very open, loud and clear to everyone. The top management as well as the entire management team, they respect the diversity. Leadership is very important. Now, at the organization, there are leadership positions across all functions, across all geographies. Now here, if you have an inclusion in leadership, that you do not discriminate people to have a leader for a particular position, I think this message will go in a long way and people will respect, and you will have people occupying leadership positions coming from a diverse work culture. Now, let's have a quick check. One of the benefits of building cultural competence in the organization is, and definitely it is, basically it increases the creativity through new and diverse perspectives. Because more and more people from a different organization, a different culture, you have larger scope for creativity and innovation. Cultural knowledge is most important. What is cultural knowledge? Knowing about another culture's history, values and beliefs. And this is what we have seen, that these are the undercurrents of the culture. History, your values and beliefs of a person coming from a different culture is the undercurrent. So we need to understand that to know a person better. So friends, we have seen the meaning of culture, seen the impact of culture. Also, we have seen how to develop the cultural competency, and we'll just summarize what we have learned so far. As we said, that culture is the mixture of the patterns, and this basically helps. The cultural impact comes from our education, upbringing, language, etc. Culture is like iceberg. As we said, that iceberg is a small part of ocean is visible. Same way, the culture, iceberg of culture, you can see very few part in terms of our behavior. And mainly, the iceberg has three levels. One is that is above the water, at the water level, and the largest part is a hidden part of culture. Now, the hidden part is mainly drives by values, tradition, history of people. Above the water lines, like say what we see is very, very visible aspect. Normally we refer to the cultural show. What do you mean by cultural show? Cultural show normally is oriented towards your history, your dance, your folk dance, the art, and this is a very, very visible part of the culture. Now, the way you have people coming from a different culture, it also impacts how do they behave, because there is a behavioral impact of culture. There are four dimensions of culture. Along with the culture values, what we have seen is that there is a one dimension is the individualism as well as the collectivism. A few cultures you will find there is a focus on individual, whereas the other cultures you will find there is a focus on team and the group. It has also has a sense interpretation of power. There are certain cultures have very low tolerance for the distribution of power, whereas few cultures, probably in Eastern cultures, people have a very high tolerance for unequal distribution of power. The other side, other dimension is the femininity and masculinity. Now, when there is a task orientation, it basically refers to the masculine side of the culture, whereas the relationship orientation, it is more part of the femininity part of the culture. Now, verbal communication also differs from within the culture as well as outside the now the way people communicate, the verbal communication, non-verbal communication also has an impact of the cultural upbringing. Now, you'll find that there is the style of communication. Certain cultures, particularly the cultures which is coming from the Western, people tend to have a direct communication style. Whereas the culture which has more Eastern roots, you will find because there is an indirect communication. There is an indirect communication. People try to avoid the explicit communication. Now, Mr. Hall, who is an anthropologist, he has written a book, Beyond Culture, refers another tendency that people communicate through low context as well as the high context. Now, low context message is mainly have a very low tolerance for people like to have the immediate results. They want a quick outcome. There is a patience. There is a low patience for the results. Whereas the people coming from the high context, they look for the long term perspective. They have more perseverance, more tolerance, and they are even prepared for the slow outcome of the result. Now, it's important to understand for managers that why people resist change. Because when there is a culture change, there are expected behavior is that a few people resist change. There are people who embrace, who accept the change, and of course there are certain people you'll find they also get occupied with the fear out of cultural change. And it comes then the organizational competence. To deal with such situation, the organizational competence is very important, and as an international HR expert, you need to really work how to develop the competency across the organization. And when you develop this competency, there are four aspects of the cultural competency. Definitely, one is that you start with the knowledge of the culture, awareness of the culture, and acquiring the skills to deal with the culture, and then how you develop the cultural competence. And the best description of the cultural diversity or cultural integration lies in what Stephen Covey says, strength lies in differences, not in similarities. Thank you. Good luck for your business.